The following is a high five moment from highfivecasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Yeah!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high five moment today? Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Last season, millions tuned into the Betrayal podcast to hear a shocking story of deception. I'm Andrea Gunning, and now we're sharing an all-new story of betrayal. Justin Rutherford. Doctor, father, family man. It was the perfect cover to hide behind.
Detective Weaver said, "I'm sure you know why we're here." I was like, "What in the world is going on?"
Listen to Betrayal on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene! Gene Fodor!
Gene, was good!
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How are you this morning, Dom?
Hello, I'm fantastic. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I've got Shadowhunters merch on and I'm ready to watch this episode.
Great stuff. I can't find the cheat sheet, but I don't rely on it that much anyway. So
I believe in you. Actually, this episode, weirdly, I remember a lot about for whatever reason. There's a lot of things that remain cemented in my memory from this one.
Interesting. I remember the big switching and that's kind of it. Yeah. Maybe because it's in the bloopers. Maybe because we have bloopers of this episode. They tend to stick with me a little longer. Oh, wait. I'm going to need the cheat sheet because we've got to do the introduction thing. Got it. Boom. All right. Who's doing what?
You are doing all of the people today.
I'm doing all of the people. Okay. Fantastic.
Yeah.
So today we're diving into season 2, episode 12. The air date was June 12th, 2017, written by Jamie Gorenberg and directed by Billy Woodruff. Starring Catherine McNamara, Dominic Sherwood, Alberto Resende, Matthew Daddario, Emerald Tabia, Isaiah Mustafa, Harry Shum Jr., Alan Van Sprang, Brett Donahue, David Castro, Mimi Kaziek, God, I never get that right, Vanessa Matsui, Will Tudor, Rosalba Martini, Chad Connell, Eric Deutschman, and Jason Wright. Fantastic.
Woohoo. Wow. That's a lot of folks.
That's a lot of people.
And there's a lot happening in this episode. As Valentine and Magnus try to escape the prison, Jace deals with a new identity, and the Shadowhunters face a possible uprising of the Downworld. To put it mildly, that's probably one of the shortest log lines we've had for an
episode. That's a really short,
And it barely scratches the surface of everything that's happening here, because we have a little bit of Jace's family history. We have a little bit of Simon Clary info that gets released. Mm-hmm. We have, you know, some Magnus Valentine stuff. And we have a new member to the team who's a, you know, very charming blonde Englishman.
That was last episode. So, we met him last episode.
No, but now he enters the group.
Oh, I see. He's only met Izzy thus far.
Yeah. And he starts having a very interesting influence on different members of the gang. Which we will find out. So this episode opens. What?
No, nothing. I'm reading the notes and I can just hear you chatting about Will. And I'm like, that's fucking cute. That's nice. Yeah, he does. He has an impact on all of us.
He does indeed. So the episode opens on Valentine screaming in his cell, pounding against the glass, as he's claiming to be Magnus Bane and saying Valentine has escaped.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
Credit. We said it previously, just very briefly in the last episode, but like credit to these guys, man. Playing someone who's existed, like a real person, Austin Butler doing Elvis, those sort of things. I've done it once before. When you're playing a normal character that's fictitious, there's a lot of like artistic credit. Like you can add things and you can change things. And like, this is the way I think he or she should move. This is the way that he or she talks, whatever. But when you're playing something that's already been established, whether in real life or by another actor, there isn't any room for that. This person does things a certain way. There's an archetype to how these things are done. And you have to pay attention to the other actors. And these two do such a fantastic job at displaying the physicalities of each other so fantastically. We're going to see more of that as we go on.
It's true. And then cut to the next scene where you have Magnus Valentine, parentheses, running through Magnus's apartment, trying to figure out what's going on.
How did he know where Magnus's apartment
almost,
like, was?
Almost even scratching his own face. Yeah. It's just so brilliant, all these little things. And because we've seen Magnus be so graceful and adept, and then all of a sudden Harry's just smashing through things and being much more brutish.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then, you know, nothing but a greater demon sitting in your living room sipping a whiskey.
Yeah. Yeah. How does everyone know where he lives?
Because he's the High Warlock of Brooklyn.
It's just like advertised?
I mean, no, but it's like, you know.
It's like the Prime Minister's house or the President's
house?
Yeah,
I feel like you would
know.
He doesn't
live in the White House, though, does he? The President? No. Does he?
Yeah. Yeah, he does.
Does he live in the White House?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he lives in one wing and then his office is in the other wing and, you know.
Sick.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't think the Prime Minister of England lives at 10 Downing Street. I think that's where the offices are. That's where the cabinet is.
Oh.
I think they have their own personal residence as well.
That's cool.
But then we don't really have, like, a downworld office space. Like, they don't have, very often go to the bar. Good for them. Good for them. As they should.
Yeah, right? But I feel like, you know, Magnus's apartment is where people go to when they need help or when something is going on. Or Magnus has enough parties. You know, word gets around.
Yeah, that's fair.
And he's a greater demon,
You cuties in bed. If it wasn't for the world constantly ending, this is a really cute scene.
So this is what I always... This is why I thought it was so sad that the date was cut previously. Because now it goes from, you know, this very nice scene where you and I reconnect to I'm just incongruously in bed with Simon. But I guess it makes sense. And it's real cute.
That's real cute. This is when he was in good shape. You can see it. You can see it in his shoulders, like the breadth of his shoulders. This is when he was in really, really good shape and he had to start trimming down a little.
Yeah. And you know, who knew the boat basin could be so charming?
It's actually
when
kind of
basked
really cute.
In morning daylight. Yeah.
Honestly, like if you look at the square footage of that, it costs you a fucking fortune in New York right now.
It's true.
Like you would kill for an apartment that size.
Oh my God. Yeah. Are you kidding?
Yeah. Boat basin or no, I'd be like, hell yeah. Also, this is another interesting, like, TV movie thing that they do. Nobody's phone is ever charging. Nobody leaves their phone on charge. Like, you just went and grabbed your phone for this information. If you guys were in bed and you just woke up, you would wake up in a panic that you were on 1.5%. You're like, I don't know how I do my day without this device. It's such little battery. I don't know what I do. Pop quiz, Kat. What's the rune on your left wrist, the front of your left wrist?
Ooh, hold on. Let me see which one it is because I don't remember. I'm pretty sure if it's the front of my left wrist.
Yeah.
Oh, that is...
I'll be very impressed if you get it.
I'm pretty sure it's the funeral rune, is it not?
I don't know what it is.
I think it is. I think it's the mourning rune from Jocelyn's funeral.
Oh.
But I could be wrong. Damn. Look at Simon.
Yeah, look at the size of him. Are you kidding?
Boxers. Holy cheese balls. He's that man when he works out. Good job, Alberto.
No kidding.
And then back to the Institute where you guys are actually doing business.
We're doing business.
Uh-oh, Mimi's here. trying to blame you for everything.
Yeah. It is what it is.
I really like her necklace. It looks like a weapon hanging from her neck. I think that's, again, Shelley with the details.
Mm-hmm. Something we always miss out on as guys, we never get as much. Like, I ended up with one later on in the season, which actually, that did become quite functional, and I loved that. But, like, that's always something I miss, like, felt like we missed out on. I've seen in your guys' trailer, you get, like, a little, like, a platter, like a little velvet platter with all your jewelry on it. We don't ever get that.
It's true.
In the naked scenes, you get a thong, which is pretty neat.
Well, there you go. I mean, if they put a thong on a velvet tray, that's fun.
I know.
So now we've got Sebastian making Isabel breakfast. This man, he cooks.
Dream guy.
He cooks breakfast and soup, apparently.
So this is like Jonathan pretending to be good. Spoiler. Is this Jonathan pretending to be good? Or is this what Sebastian was like? Is he mimicking Sebastian?
Yes, is the bigger question. Because he stalked Sebastian in order to do that. Because obviously if he ran into somebody that Sebastian knew, he would have to be Sebastian. But that is not Sebastian. That is Jonathan.
No, I know that. I mean, like, is this Jonathan being... Is it him faux pretending to be nice? Is this what he thinks is nice? Or is Sebastian just this really nice guy that we missed out on in our series, like, because it was the story?
Both. Yeah.
Oh, what a shame.
That's exactly it. I know.
We would have really liked Sebastian.
Yeah. War table. I mean, given as, you know, upset as his cousin was, you can imagine. Yeah. And in walks Izzy. We're like, oh my God, so happy you're safe. And who did you bring? I remember
talking about this. Yeah, when we were filming it, we were all like, he's such a good actor. And he's obviously so handsome. And we were all like blown away by his presence. And it was all of us, even as actors, we were like, where the fuck did you find this guy, man? Come on. This is ridiculous.
He's like, oh yes, I specialize in greater demons. How apt. How helpful. I just happen to be the best
chances?
Person.
That's very fortunate. Yeah.
And I remember Will and I talked a lot about this moment where we meet, because it's that thing of there had to be this little recognition without Clary realizing it, because you know, they are family and they are connected in a certain way. And that's part of what makes this go the way it goes. But it, you know, it had to be just the slightest bit of familiarity without anything else.
Because you guys wouldn't have met.
No, because Jocelyn ran before...
Even as babies, right? Yeah, when she was pregnant.
Yeah. So, you know, but he knows exactly who I am.
Right. But have we met? Have we have met, me and him? Or did Valentine keep us entirely separate?
That was something I remember talking about. I think you guys might have met as, you know, like babies, but you wouldn't remember it. And because by the time...
He also doesn't look like this. Like, this is Sebastian's face, not Jonathan's face. So he doesn't look this way. So there's no way I would recognize him, but I was more curious, like, wait, if he's in Magnus's body, he has Magnus's powers?
Yeah.
Interesting.
He can't control them as well. But yeah, he still has them.
Oh, yeah, I remember, because he fucking gets me later. Yeah, that's right.
Because he's trying to make a portal. He's trying to do all this stuff, but he can't. So now Azazel and Magnus are still talking, because Azazel's, you know, trying to get Magnus Valentine to get them out of there so they can, you know, take over the world and do bad guy stuff.
A Lightwood. That's funny.
Get rid of him. I need your help tracking Azazel.
Yeah.
I'm busy. I got a client, Magnus says. Well, do you? Because Azazel's right there.
He's like, oh. He knows something's up right away. Alec knows something's up right away. That's not my boyfriend.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like my boyfriend.
Excuse me.
He knows. Oh, so he turns up right away. That a boy.
See, again, Malik is the healthiest relationship on the show. I said it once. I'll say it a million times.
Yeah. So Harry, again, does these amazing things where he's not only is he pretending to be Valentine in Magnus's body, but also is putting together that these two are in a relationship, and you can see like wheels turning. How do I make this into something that I can use and whatever, which is great. Also, we need to talk about this stunt. So this stunt looks like it's on green screen.
I think it is. I think that one shot of him flying. It's not?
Mm-mm. No, they did it all practically.
Really? That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure they ran the camera on the dolly with him as he was doing this.
Oh, that makes sense. They did that with me a few times too.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is great, because they figured out the way where they could, because they put the camera on the dolly and then they put you on the dolly and then they just go whoosh. It works. Works quite well.
He got him.
I love how Alex still hasn't quite figured it out. You know, at this point, he's probably assuming, oh, you were weird because you were being held hostage.
Mm-hmm.
Something that couldn't be undone. Oh, that's right. So Azazel was the one who said, I can switch you back.
I'm the only one who can switch you back, yeah.
But now Azazel's gone. So Alex shot Azazel with an arrow and he disappeared. So now, poor Valamagnus. Valamagnus thinks he's trapped. Valamagnus?
Valamagnus, 100%. Your first instinct was right there, yeah.
And then is Magnantine in the basement then?
I guess, yeah. I guess it sounds more bad guy-y.
So I love that this office that Mimi's in, the Inquisitor now, is just like the rotating office, just whoever takes it over. You know, there's probably file boxes with everybody's personal effects in somewhere.
Well, maybe, like, it would be very Shadowhunter-y that you're allowed like one personal photo and you just literally take it out of the frame and then the other person puts their personal family photo in, and that's how you decide, like, oh, Mimi's in charge right now. Okay, there's a photo of her and I guess me.
Her son.
But we don't know that yet.
Yeah, it wouldn't be you yet.
Am I her grandson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Aldertree brings a tea kettle in the Art of War.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, great. We're going to become guinea pigs for the Clave science experiment.
Oh, that's right. Is this it? We don't have that fight scene in this episode, do we? Or do we? The training scene? That's this episode?
That's this episode.
That was a fun scene.
Again, one of many reasons this episode stands out in my memory.
Holy shit. Dot turns up at Magnus's door looking fabulous. Like head to toe, how Dot should look. Like this because this is kind of the first time we've seen her as like her warlock self. Not the antiques, not the sort of showmanship, not a prisoner, not being poisoned. It's like the first time that she's been able to go home and put on like her warlock outfit. And she looks like a different person.
She does. Back in her all of her warlock glory.
Yeah. Good for you, Dot.
Damn, Linus.
Do we ever find out what her mark is?
I'm trying to remember. I feel like we established it during the pilot, and then we just haven't seen it since.
We haven't seen it.
Yeah, I feel like it's she's got an eye thing, maybe.
You think it's an eye thing?
I think so, but I'm probably very wrong. Please don't crucify me, book fans.
I'm not saying nothing.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
I won! Yahoo! Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sort. High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again.
Platoon, present cell phone. High Five.
High Five.
Casino.
Casino.
Win at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Last season, millions tuned into the Betrayal podcast to hear a shocking story of deception. I'm Andrea Gunning, and now we're sharing an all-new story of betrayal. Stacy thought she had the perfect husband. Doctor, father, family man. It was the perfect cover for Justin Rutherford to hide behind.
They led me into the house, and I mean, it was like a movie.
He was sitting at our kitchen table. The cops were guarding him.
Stacy learned how far her husband would go to save himself.
I slept with a loaded gun next to my bed.
He did not just say, I wish he was dead. He actually gave details and explained different scenarios on how to kill him.
He, to me, is scarier than Jeffrey Dahmer.
Listen to Betrayal on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. On Purpose's mission is to create impactful conversations to help you become happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Tiffany Haddish in a hilarious, deep, thoughtful interview where we dive into family trauma, grief, sobriety, love, and dating. You'll be laughing, crying, and have so many impactful takeaways after this interview.
I had this, like, you know, homie lover friend for a long time. He's very disrespectful to me, very kind of messed up to me. But in my mind, we could get married. We had the most beautiful babies. He handsome. I'm pretty. Like, it would be so cool. He's smart and intellectual. I'm kind of smart, I think. Like, it would be fun. We have the best conversations. Like, we have fun, but then he would treat me like crap.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss this one.
Oh, then we're back in the prison. Dot's still not strong enough to create portals. Ooh, wow. Wow. Torture. Ooh,
Lots of torture.
I forgot about this.
Strobe light.
Jeez. Shadow hunters.
It's not great.
Oh, and we're back in the greenhouse.
We use this so much more in this season. I literally never stepped foot in this place. I never stepped into it once. And I think in the books, And I think in the books, it's where we have our first kiss, is in a greenhouse, if I'm not wrong.
Never once
stepped in it. Never filmed in it.
That's probably why they never put you in there. Because if they did, people would be, if you and I were in the greenhouse and we didn't make out, people would be upset.
Yeah. She's coming clean to Simon. Things got out of control.
She's coming clean about the Yinfen. And she also comes clean about something else, I think. Or maybe that's later in the episode. So Valentine is still just, you would think by a certain point, Valentine would change tactics.
You would think, yeah.
What he's trying to do.
But it's not Valentine, it's Magnus. He doesn't know. And he's being tortured. He doesn't know the Shadowhunter's ways, which in this instance is brutality. We're not listening to a word you're saying. That's the end of it.
This scene is so heartbreaking to me because you can just see in this, again, Alan is so brilliant. You just see the love in his eyes.
Yeah.
I mean, look, if there's anyone who's going to figure it out, it's Alec.
I completely agree. Acting with your eyeballs. Acting with you, like, because it's not even the rest of his face. If you took that away, I would still believe him. I'd hear his words and just see the surface of his eyes. I would still believe him.
Yeah.
But also, I read the script, so.
And Alec's even trying to get away, and Alan's like, no, 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 no.
Yeah. So good.
Telling him all these things that only he would know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, Matt and Alan, they never really get to act together, but they're so good together.
So good. How do we fix this? I'm so excited to see how this episode ends. Also, that chair is awesome. That, I think, is an antique dentist chair.
Yep, I'm pretty sure.
With straps added to it, by the way. Added to it.
Yeah.
That's not how they come. The old dentist, they were like, strap you down.
And here we go.
This was a good fight scene. Yeah.
I loved this fight scene. This was one of the first times.
I remember this being the first time they sort of let you loose and you got to actually do some like competent Shadowhunter stuff, you know?
Yeah, well, because Darren had been on the show long enough and we talked for so long about, you know, because Jace fights a particular way and Alec fights a particular way. And Clary was just getting to the point of learning and training as a Shadowhunter that she kind of got her own version of that.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, I always love doing these scenes with you because we just got to play. And we always were able to find so many moments within them.
Fun little
Gold eyes
and gold rune. Boom. Fun little thing about the gold rune. We get I don't know if you guys get this actually. Do you get the BCG? Do you get that shot when you're a kid? Is that a common one? We get it in school. It's a very common one, and it almost always leaves a little tiny little circular scar, which is directly underneath the rune that goes gold. Mm-hmm. So it turns out that Shadowhunters also get the BCG. They get that injection. There's no other reason for that scar to be there.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And I just love that you flip over the Inquisitor. That's one thing. Just Jace's cockiness is always just like, no, I'm just going to do this.
Yeah.
And she doesn't blink an eye. That's what
she doesn't
makes
blink
it, though,
an eye. She
is
knows,
that you
yeah.
do it and it's not a thing. And she doesn't blink an eye.
And again, Mimi doing that job, like we did that. That was a practical effect. Like I did it. We did it a couple of times with her pacing it out. You can't see when you do a backflip. You can't see until you're fully upside down. So you're at the absolute beck and call of Mimi and then Dean and Darren. Dean especially in these moments, because like he's the one who's pulling you up. He's keeping you at the right height and landing you safely. That was all them. The backflips, you know this. The backflips are the easier ones of the two. The front flips are hard work. The backflips are the ones where your body sort of takes over. So those guys did all the work there, not me.
Yeah, that's true. But I had forgotten this. Clary's rune power isn't working. She's not able to activate her sunlight rune or use it anymore. And that's what failed with Azazel. That's why the whole switcheroo happened. Still can't figure it out.
Do we know why? Do we ever figure out why that's happening?
Yes, we do.
We do?
We find out later in the episode.
Mm.
And it's one of those things where it's the Morgenstern versus the Lightwood, how their powers work and how they access their power specifically. It's interesting. It's sort of different Shadowhunter families seem to be able to use their powers in different ways, which I think is kind of cool. You know, it's because it exists in our blood and it exists because of who we are.
Very Harry Pottery. So I like that.
Yeah, it's different.
This is a cute scene with Raphael's sister, who we think is her grandmother. It's really cute.
It's really lovely. I remember how touching it was. You know, it's like Isabella's still taking care of Raphael's family.
Yeah.
I love that Simon is just utterly confused by the whole scenario. Mm-hmm. And then realizes that, oh, one day I'm going to have to do this with my sister.
Yeah.
And one day, and my mom. And
Potentially his kids. Like, he's in a relationship with you right now. Shadowhunters are mortal. Your kids would be born mortal, right?
Yeah. Well, we don't know.
We don't know what they would be necessarily. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. There's ever been. Actually, no, he can't have kids because he's a vampire.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Vampires are sterile. It's part of that whole situation. Yeah. Poor Alec is having a rough day.
He has had a rough day.
Oh, yeah. This was right once they... This was one of the first episodes they'd built that little back corner by the elevator.
Mm-hmm. The alcove. Yeah. It's fun for us to go back and watch this stuff because we get to see and we get to explain to you, like, little pieces of stuff was added. It's almost like we'd saved up enough money, like, when you're a homeowner and you're like, oh, let's do the kitchen extension. Like, let's do this. Yeah. Let's extend this. Let's build this into place. Yeah. And, like, slowly over the course of 3.5 seasons, they like, built little bits of, like, new stuff, which is really cool. It's exciting for us to come on set for those first times and see this.
Mm-hmm. Once again, it's so nice that you guys have a moment here to, you know, it's that Parabatai thing. If no one else is going to believe Alec, except Jace.
Yeah.
And they can figure it out together and they just kind of cycle through that. Well, is it this? No. Is it this? No.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, making the impossible possible.
Oh, this is the scene. Oh, there it is. This is the coolest fucking shot. Billy, I hope you're listening to this. This is the coolest fucking shot. So when Magnus turns up to talk to Valentine, Magnus in Valentine's body and Valentine in Magnus's body, watch this carefully.
Yes!
It's very easy to slip by. They angled the glass so that Magnus's reflection is what Valentine walks into. Literally, the tip of his nose matches up perfectly with Magnus's reflection. It is the fucking coolest shot. I think it is absolutely outstanding.
That might be the coolest shot I've ever seen on our show, period.
100%. 100%. And it's,
oh, and
it's
then
not...
It's on, same on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
When
it's
it
not special
around.
Effects. It's not CGI. They did it with creative filmmaking. And that is fucking unbelievable.
Went full Star Wars with it. Oh, and here comes the Inquisitor. Oh, goodness. I love how they're both trying to make their powers work and neither one can. They're both like,
I don't know. I don't know.
Honestly, for audiences watching, this is what we feel like we look like on set because we're doing all these things and obviously nothing's coming out of our hands. And as silly as this looks to you viewers, this is what it looked like every day for us on set.
Mm-hmm. Vamp speed was the hardest one, I think.
Oh my god, I will never forget the one time I had to do vamp speed and how much you all just laughed. Mm-hmm. It was great fun.
These shots are also unbelievable. The overlap of the two of them in the same costumes, it's unbelievable. This whole section of filmmaking, Billy, credit to you, man. This is really some outstanding stuff.
Really is. My goodness, I haven't watched this since it aired.
No, me neither.
It's so what's happening is as they're torturing Valentine because the Inquisitor's, you know, obviously inquisiting.
Inquisiting.
Inquisitor's gonna inquisit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But we get to see Magnus's childhood trauma resurfacing as these things happen. And that's...
Which we really have barely touched the surface of. Like, we've spoken about it once or twice when he finds the snaky knife, the curved knife.
We find out more about that, I believe, next season.
We do.
Oh, and then prepare him for execution. So they're gonna just kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this scene was actually the first scene I got to shoot with Will, ever. And I think it was one of his first scenes he got to shoot as well. And it was so nice because we just got to sit in the greenhouse and talk about... It was rainy, so we had like a rain delay or something. Mm-hmm. We just got to sit in the greenhouse and get to know each other and talk about the scenes and the characters and the relationship and what was coming and kind of work all those things out so that when we did this scene, we were able to kind of establish that connection that they have and that familiarity that they have. And, you know, when a guest star, when somebody new comes on the show, it's so rare that you have that opportunity. Mm-hmm. And Will's turned out to be one of my closest friends in the end.
He's
so,
a good guy. We like Will.
He's a wonderful, wonderful dude. But it's story-wise, what's happening in this scene is, you know, Clary's been told since she was a shadow hunter, emotions cloud judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Emotions cloud judgment. And that is, don't lean into your emotions. It will hinder you in your powers and it will hinder you from being a good shadow hunter and being a good soldier. Clary's powers have often exemplified themselves in moments of high emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Sebastian is the first shadow hunter who's come in and said, well, if you have all these emotions, if you're going through this, use it. harness it. There's a power in that. There's a world in which it begins to cause Clara to question everything. Because that makes sense to her in the person that she is and in the way that she goes about life.
Mm-hmm.
That logic means more than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I think, you know, these guys, the Shadowhunters, as we were trained from being very young babies, you know, whether it was in the Institute or through Valentine, whatever, we were trained to suppress those emotions and function that way, which I think actually as a soldier is the most efficient way to do anything. However, if you haven't been trained that way, you live the first 18 years of your life understanding that emotions do run through you and do need to be a part of you for you to progress as you know, whatever you are, then learning to suppress that 18 is next to impossible. So I agree with him. I think you should use them.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. As mm-hmm. Now, Izzy's having a meal at Jade Wolf with Simon.
That doesn't happen very often.
I know. This, again, this is one of the things. They made us wait for Sizzy for so long.
Mm-hmm.
But it's these little moments that helped that pay off in the end.
Mm-hmm. That was the season 4 relationship. That was going to be the season 4 relationship build, sadly. We got to see some towards the end.
Simon, I thought you knew. Knew what?
Oh.
So for those at home that are watching, that we are just figuring things out, Isabel just casually told Simon that Clary and Jace are not actually related, which Clary doesn't know, but Jace knows.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, yeah, I do now. Sorry.
Yeah, you do. You found out last
episode.
But
I didn't tell him.
You didn't
that's
tell
right.
him yet, no.
I didn't tell Simon. That's what it was. Oh, no. Oh, no. And then a portal shows up. So it's Raphael.
Raphael.
Oh, because they're all trying to figure out why he's a daylighter.
No, it's the sister. He doesn't want Simon around his sister.
Oh. But also, he can walk during the day. Mm-hmm. Werewolves? Luke. Oh, that's right. I remember this. Luke just opens the door and they're all like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Sunlight. I always, again, Billy with these shots. I just love the shot of Simon and Luke just with the sunlight pouring in behind mm-hmm. them. They're backlit like freaking superheroes. Oh, and that's when he outs himself as a daylighter. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. I knew that was going on in the scene. So Simon's in hot water with the vampy friends.
You have a target on his back now, buddy.
High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at highthenumber5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
Last season, millions tuned into the Betrayal podcast to hear a shocking story of deception. I'm Andrea Gunning, and now we're sharing an all-new story of betrayal. Stacy thought she had the perfect husband. Doctor, father, family man. It was the perfect cover for Justin Rutherford to hide behind.
They led me into the house, and I mean, it was like a movie.
He was sitting at our kitchen table. The cops were guarding him.
Stacy learned how far her husband would go to save himself.
I slept with a loaded gun next to my bed.
He did not just say, I wish he was dead. He actually gave details and explained different scenarios on how to kill him.
He, to me, is scarier than Jeffrey Dahmer.
Listen to Betrayal on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Stephanie J. Block.
And I'm Mary Lee Fairbanks.
And we host Stages Podcast.
Binge close to 100 episodes. Hear the inside stories from backstage and behind the scenes as we go beyond the resume and into the heart of creativity and what it really takes to be in the business of show business.
Don't miss our chats with this season's Tony nominees. If you love theater and entertainment, you are going to love Stages Podcast.
Subscribe to Stages Podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts and visit us at stagespodcast.net.
And now we are back in the Institute.
Yeah.
And Alex having doubts. But Inquisitor's going, no, we're just going to execute him.
Yeah, we're going to do it. Despite what the Clave said, we're going to do it. The Clave said no. It's like, we're still going to execute him. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear.
You know, it's interesting. You can tell there's a certain family lineage from that sentiment.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. I just love the way that Magnantine looks at you in this mm-hmm. scene.
I remember it actually being kind of heartbreaking, this. Like what he says, it's nice to be like this. It's nice to be like friends. Because that is what Valentine wanted. Like he, as much as he wanted a weapon, he also wanted a son. He wanted that paternal sort of relationship. And that, the way Harry did it, and I'm sure Alan had some input as well, that like, it just broke my heart. And it was one of those really like difficult things to be a part of.
Absolutely. And now it's, the tension that they are able to build in this part of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I remember what happens now.
I don't still.
I do.
I'm very excited.
Just a bit.
What was your issue with the chair? You didn't like the chair?
I didn't like the chair. Well, later on, I end up in the chair for reasons.
I remember,
It's not fun.
It's not comfy?
Let me put it this way. I wasn't particularly thinking about comfort during that scene. So, I don't know. It just creeps me out. It's one of those things you'd see in, you know,
a horror movie?
Some underground torture chamber, maybe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Alexander's not sure.
Here's what I want to know. What is that message situation that's happening?
How is he doing it?
Yeah. Is that supposed to be a fire message, or is it supposed to be like a half portal that Magnus is doing?
I don't know.
Or is it a Parabatai thing?
It's not a Parabatai thing, because if it was, he wouldn't be there. Magnus wouldn't be there.
Oh, so now she can see it too. Okay, so it's not a Parabatai thing. Yeah. It must be it's got to be
it's a magic thing.
Yeah, he's harnessed just enough of Magnus's power. He's figured it out.
I think that's why they're pulsing, because he can't control it properly. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and he's holding Jace Ransom.
Oh, shit. And this is where I find out who my parents are.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there you go.
I love how Jace is like, really? They're trying this again? You're telling me I'm related to somebody else? Yeah. Somebody tried this. I'm not doing this again.
Oh, this actually might be the episode where Mimi gives me the ring.
Yeah, I think it is.
Oh, yeah, there you go. There's the ring.
Her unborn son was eaten alive, or was he? This is different than the books. Because in the books, Celine does take her own life, but it's Valentine that saves the baby.
Mm.
Not that the body was ravaged by werewolves and then the baby was thought dead.
Got it.
Man, 1 hour is not a lot of time to accomplish things in the Shadow World.
No, a lot. And a lot is happening in this episode.
Magnus gives them 1 hour. Valentine, Magnus. I still don't know what to call it.
Although, Valentine, Magnus, whichever it is. But it, who lives in Penthouse 2? You know what I mean? Lives in that penthouse across the hall and is like, fucking again. Like, I pay such a lot of money for this in New York, and there's always some shit going on. There's always some weird fucking shit going on in this penthouse. Hate it here.
There's got to be some kind of glamour. Or maybe it's not.
I hope it's not. Like, I hope it's just a normal person who works just an everyday job and is just like, this is bullshit. Like, I fucking hate this place. I just got zapped into another room. And that was the scene where I forgot to lock my shoulders in place. So the shackles I have on are actually quite heavy, weigh about 8-9 pounds. And when I landed, I did the landing fine. And then when I landed, I let these go. So the inertia took them into my chest and just knocked all the wind out of me. And all of the stunt guys are like behind the door. And they're like, you good, man? And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. Yeah,
you're like, yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm good. Just keep going. Yeah. Keep on powering through.
Nah. And once again, the one thing that can save the day is the one thing that Clary can't do.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we talked a lot about this scene with Matt, because he's sitting there going, well, Alec is just standing here. Why isn't he intervening? Why isn't he, you know? But I think Alec is the most perceptive of us all.
Mm-hmm.
He can tell that Sebastian is an experienced shadow hunter, and he can tell what's going on. And I don't know. I think he's...
Look at him making a potion. Look at Alan making a potion as Magnus. It is exactly what he does with his hands. It is so, so good.
Right? So then we cut back to outside the door, and Sebastian basically gets in Clary's face and said, hey, here's all the horrible stuff that's going to make you feel something.
Yeah, feel it.
Your father doesn't love you. Your mother's dead. She's never coming back. And it works.
Ugh,
and the only reason he knows how to... the only reason he knows how to access it is because he feels the same way. You're all alone in this world. No one loves you. And they're about to drink the potion to switch themselves back. Oh, I remember this stunt too. We did this other... So this wire stunt, when it cuts back inside and both of them are kind of lifting off the ground and they're switching back into each other. It's, again, it's another advantage we have of having this be our studio and our amazing stunt team who's able to rig this. But also the combination of practical and visual effects when they're both used well, the way that their eyes go black and you almost kind of see their souls being sucked into each other, all with an open portal.
All with an open portal just sat there. But a portal's one way.
Yes. So the thing with portals is you have to know where you're going.
Where you're going, think of the right? place. Yeah. Otherwise you end up in limbo. I remember that.
They're only open for a particular amount of time.
Got it.
Or unless they're, you know, closed. But so I love that, you know, as soon as they're released, they start grappling for the portal. And then Claire just runs in and just tackles them through the portal. Claire's like, yeah, I know how this works. Boom.
Where did you go, though?
I went into the prison.
Oh, back to jail. Nice. Yeah. Nice. That was brave, though. You didn't know that that's where you were going to end up.
Well, because it would be Clary that controls where it goes at that point.
Because you were thinking about it?
Because you think of the place you want to go and it takes you there.
Oh, so the portals are like multi-use, but it's you, the user, that... Oh, I see. I didn't know that. Yeah. That's interesting.
That's why when right before Jocelyn pushed Clary into Dot's portal, she goes, think about Luke.
Right.
And so she pops into the police station.
Got
or
it.
Find Luke or whatever. So obviously Claire's well, Luke's at the police station. Boom. Yeah. Look at that good boyfriend helping to clean up the mess.
I know. Yeah. Bless him. Honestly, considering what they just went through, one broken bottle on the floor doesn't really seem like that bad. It doesn't seem like too much. Yeah, right?
Not that bad. A lot of expensive stuff in that apartment. A lot could have gone south.
A lot of stuff could have been broken.
I also assume Magnus's apartment is a bit delicate in a lot of those ways with all of his magical items and tinctures and potions. Can you imagine how many things could just accidentally get knocked together and just explode?
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, how many of those two things next to each other are like an accidental atom bomb?
Yeah.
But also, because so much of it is antiques, like there's a lot of stuff in there that's one of a kind, right?
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of stuff in there that must be worth an absolute fortune, especially the statue with the googly eyes on them.
I mean, the statue of the Google eyes, we know is priceless. That now lives in Harry's house.
Oh, does it really? Harry has it?
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
Yeah. He took one of the busts from in there.
Nice.
Yeah.
This looks like a quick props fix. I don't think it was, because there's a lot of background that don't have umbrellas. I think they didn't know it was going to be raining.
Oh, this was definitely a quick fix. Because I remember that we were shooting this in January or February. And you know that in Toronto, that's when all the weather happens.
Yeah.
So I remember this.
It was February, yeah.
Yeah. I think I went to visit set that night. And it wasn't just rain. It was almost snow. That's how cold it was. So, of course, just a nice little quick fix with an umbrella. It does provide a nice symmetry, though, in that kind of medium tight shot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I remember this scene being creepy.
I mean, you got to feel bad for Sebastian.
Nope.
You gotta feel bad for Sebastian a little bit. Like, if you didn't know,
no. he just asked you out.
Yeah, I know, but he doesn't know any better.
What do you mean?
Okay, well, aside from that little coup.
But
if you think about it without knowing that, it's a new shadow hunter from Clary's perspective. You know, it's a new shadow hunter.
So I would feel bad for Clary for having to deny someone. I don't feel bad for Sebastian at all.
Fair enough. It's just like, he's so nice. And he's like, hey, do you want to grab dinner? And she has to go, I'm dating a vampire. Creep. Sorry. Yeah, it's a bit, knowing what we know now, it's so creepy. But,
so creepy. I still can't believe that the incest storylines went on for so long in the books. Fucking blows my mind.
Yeah, I don't know. Can't speak to that.
This is a nice scene as well. This is a nice, very genuine scene. Simon's so self-sacrificial. He's willing to end the relationship as long as Clary's happy.
Yeah.
This scene was fun. This scene between Mimi and I was really good fun because they're was a version of this where I said stuff back to her. Hmm. And we, I think on the day, ended up taking all of that out. She says everything and I don't have any words and it's just reactionary. And I just got to sort of watch and listen to my grandmother telling me, like, this is who you are and this is where you're from. And it was fun, you know. It was like painting with the empty spaces, you know.
Yeah.
And Mimi's so fucking brilliant. Like, being able to, it's such a gift to be able to work with her.
It really is. I miss her so much. But sometimes, you know, as to your point, you don't need the words, especially mm-hmm. in a situation like this, because we've seen Jace's story. We've seen how much he's been trying to figure out for most of his life who he is and where yeah. he fits in and what his family lineage mm-hmm. means. And for the fourth time, you've finally gotten an answer and it's yeah. finally the truth.
Well, and knowing that that I come from this line, like this actually revered line of shadow hunters, these shadow hunters who have been respected for generations, is mm-hmm. like, it's just the biggest thing to him. You know, he's always going to be a Lightwood in his head. That's how he was born and raised. And, but this, like, knowing that there's, that you have a history rather than it just mm-hmm. being a big question mark above your, you know, your last name is a huge thing.
Well, and so too, he spent so much time thinking that his father is the biggest villain mm-hmm. of all time. And he finds out that his father died a hero and yeah. that he was one of the most revered, most beloved and most mourned shadow hunters.
Yeah.
in so many years. And, you know, that he now has a family who loves him and wants him. That's huge. Mm-hmm.
And wants him. You're right. That's a big thing. Yeah.
Well, here we are at the end of this episode.
That's it.
This next episode is interesting because this next episode, it's one of those where, you know, this was shot back in, what, 2017?
17.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was really proud of our writers because they started tackling some things that were not necessarily seemed tackleable in television, or at least in this kind of television. And it's when we get into the whole kind of downworld tracking bits.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting. And I was really happy that you know, the show took that head on and played that out in the way that they did.
It was brave. It was a brave yeah. thing to do at the time because these like issues within the world, we've said it so many times that so much of what we did under the guise of something a little fantastical actually was grounded in reality and ended up being sort of a narrative of what was going on at the time. And, these stories needed to be told from that perspective. We needed to understand them from that perspective. And we still do. And we still need to continue writing and making those stories. So kudos Absolutely. To the writers for taking those steps, so especially in a young adult show. You know, I think it's arguably more important to put those stories in there.
Absolutely.
With the new generation who, you know, have their futures to make these actionable changes. And yeah, it's a brave thing to do in a young adult show because it's not always as easy as putting a conversation like race in, you know, with that something we need to cover. So let's put it in. It's not always that easy. So good for them for putting it in.
Yeah. And well done to folks like you and Alicia who were most involved in that storyline and able mm-hmm. to kind of play it out. But we'll talk more about that next week.
We will. Next week. Kat, you got to get yourself off to something. Go do. You're I busy. I do.
Thank you guys so much.
Thanks, guys.
Return to the Shadows is hosted and executive produced by me, Catherine McNamara, and Dominic Sherwood. Our executive producer is Ling Lee. Our senior producers are Liz Hayes and Diego Tapia. Our producers are Hannah Harris and Kristen Vermilia, and our intern is Sam Katz. Original music by Alex Kinsey and performed by Alex Kinsey and Catherine McNamara.
High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at highthenumber5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
Last season, millions tuned into the Betrayal podcast to hear a shocking story of deception. I'm Andrea Gunning, and now we're sharing an all-new story of betrayal. Justin Rutherford. Doctor, father, family man.
It was the perfect cover to hide behind.
Detective Weaver said, "I'm sure you know why we're here." I was like, "What in the world is going on?"
Listen to Betrayal on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.